What a joy it is to be with you this beautiful spring morning. I'm a Californian who's been living in the South for 15 years, and it's nice to be back home. I want to begin by saying thank you to you, all of you. First, thanks to Mitra, Reverend Mitra, for the invitation to be here today. To Peter and Chris and the choir and all the folks who've made this service so lovely and helped with it. And especially thanks to you, first of all, for being here this morning. Because I know how it is when a guest preacher comes and you look out the window, it's a beautiful morning. Hey, I can take the day off, right? So as a guest preacher, you know, it's no fun if you come to a congregation and three people are there. So this is really great. So thank you for coming. I appreciate it. More importantly, though, thank you for the love, the care, and support you have given to my colleagues, James Ford recently as your affiliated community minister, and especially Reverend Mitra. I've had the privilege of serving closely with Mitra for almost 8 years as the UUMA's executive director. She has served our colleagues and our larger faith in a variety of different roles, roles that I know have taken her away from you at times. As somebody who has served a vibrant church of your size, I know that there is always more work to be done. The courage and the commitment you have shown by supporting your minister to be away for many weeks during the year in order to serve, support, and lead those who will never step into this community is both selfless and wise. The difference your minister is making in the life of Unitarian Universalism, in the life of ministers like me, is profound, and it is because of your willingness to share her. So on behalf of the almost 1,900 ministers and seminarians I lead, thank you. I have been a reader and a fan of Anne Lamott for more than 30 years, perhaps in part because we both share the path of recovery. I've always considered her a bit of a kindred spirit. I've always found her to be her irreverent wit and wisdom with always a spiritual twist to be both entertaining and inspiring. Her words from this morning's reading describe my state and I think so many others since the November elections. There are Okay, Anne said a few more words than that, but it might be the same thing. There are times in our lives, scary, unsettling times, when we know that we need help or answers, but we're not sure what kind. Amen. The world, and especially our country, is a scary and unsettling place. We are seemingly on the verge of war. We are discriminating against people because of their religious beliefs. We have white supremacists serving in the White House. And we are stripping away more and more protections for our planet every day. As religious people, what do we do? What is required of us in these days of growing injustice, fear, and polarization? From the Hebrew Scriptures, the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord, and how myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, Micah said, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. The last few words of this Bible verse are some of the best known and perhaps the most challenging words in the Hebrew Scriptures. I suspect they may not be the first thing that comes to you when you imagine how to be during these days. The words, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God, are chiseled in the concrete walls of the sanctuary at the First Unitarian Universalist Society of San Francisco, a sanctuary that is over 140 years old and where I was ordained as a minister. They are among my favorite words and maybe the only words I can recite from memory in the Bible. This morning, I invite you to reflect with me a bit on the question we do not usually ask ourselves. What is required of us? It is a question that some Unitarian Universalists might even bristle at, since we are a creedless religion, a faith that does not require any professions or promises. In the book of Micah, it is a question people are asking because they know that their greedy, uncaring ways with each other have upset God. The prophet Micah is telling them how they may get back into God's good graces. Our former UUA president, John Burens, in his book, Understanding the Bible, writes, "Is it possible that we have turned away from eternally important questions because we are uncomfortable with the idea that the eternal, the God of history, actually might require something of us? Is that why we have replaced that question with the more comfortable questions of the consumerist age? What do I require? Require in a book, a teaching, a God, or good that I might be willing to take seriously?" What do we require? What do we need? Are two questions that we are familiar with. They are questions that in some ways are the bedrock of the very culture we live in. We have, with society's urging, become skilled at asking not what we can do, what we should do for others, but rather, what can you do for me? But if we are to deepen our relationship with the religious community, if we wish to find more meaning and fulfillment in our lives, eventually we must ask ourselves a different question. Especially in these days, when greed and fear seem to be the driving forces in our country, we need a question and an answer that helps to transform us and the world in which we live. Transformation is what the prophet Micah was hoping to bring about with his words. The story in the book of Micah is a common one in the Hebrew scriptures. It is also common if we look around us today. The people of Jerusalem have been acting up and acting out again. Their pride, their greed, their lust, and their sinful ways have upset God, especially the rich and powerful people who have forgotten how to treat others justly. Micah has come to tell the people that God's retribution is coming, and it will not be a pretty sight. The God of the Hebrew scriptures is not always very nice. Maybe the answer, one person thinks, is to worship and praise God with burnt offerings, fatted calves, perfumes, maybe even their firstborn baby. In other words, maybe God can be bribed to change his vengeful ways and forgive and forget the people's arrogant ways. Says Micah. God does not want you to give fancy offerings or your firstborn child. God wants something different. God requires you to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, I kind of can imagine, I think, what my first response would be to Micah if I had been in the sandals of those Jerusalemites. I probably would have said, well, thanks, but I think I'd really rather give up the calf and the perfume. What is required? To do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Obviously, I am not a Jew living in Jerusalem. I am not someone who believes everything he reads in the Bible. I do not believe in a God that is vengeful and keeps score of our good days and bad days from up high. I have my doubts that Micah was even speaking for God. But I think it would be hard to find a more simple, a more powerful requirement for living than his words. And while I'm not ready to say these words are a Unitarian Universalist creed, I do believe they capture whom we are at our best and what we strive to be as well as any words I have ever read. Do, love, walk humbly. All of these are verbs, action words, that tell us what to do. I like my requirements for living and for my religious faith to be focused on acting and not believing, practicing and not preaching. Do justice. That's a pretty clear requirement, isn't it? Justice is in our second principle. Justice, equality, treating everybody fairly. We have been a religious tradition, and you have been a congregation that has done justice in the past. I want to thank Sandy Kroll, who I got to meet earlier this morning, for writing the brief history of social justice in this church, which is on your website. It not only helped me to get to know you and your history better, it made me certain that you could hang out with Micah. Fighting for abolition, for women's suffrage, for civil rights, for African Americans, for women, for gays, for lesbians, bisexual and transgender people, Unitarian Universalists have done that all. Your congregation has provided refuge as a sanctuary church. You fought racism, and you've worked with the Faithful Fools to get on the streets of Long Beach and understand the needs of those living there. You have done all this. We have done justice. But as a religious tradition, as a congregation, as individuals, I believe in these days we must do even more. Love mercy. Some translate this to love kindness. Mercy or kindness, I don't think it matters a whole lot. The Dalai Lama has written that when we develop love and kindness, we not only help others, it helps create peace and happiness in us. He writes, "Whether one believes in religion or not, there isn't anyone who doesn't appreciate kindness." How deeply do we love mercy? How deeply do we love kindness? Do we cultivate love and kindness for each other in our hearts? Or do we wait until someone proves they are worthy to deserve our love and kindness? Near the end of his life, the rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel said, "When I was young, I used to admire people with intelligence. As I grow older, I admire kind people." How do we love mercy? By showing kindness to everyone we meet. Making people feel good by praising and not criticizing. By smiling. By being friendly to all. By opening our hearts and practicing love and forgiveness as often as we can. These are difficult practices, especially when perhaps these days we may despise another. And yet we know that mercy is always better for our hearts and our spirits and for those of others as well. Lastly, Micah urges us to walk humbly with our God. Those who are atheists and maybe agnostics may want to reject this part of Micah's words because they don't have a God to walk with. For those who don't walk with a God, I suggest you hear this as humbly walk with your truth. Humility is not a trait, a skill frequently taught in our world today. Humility will not get you good SAT scores. Humility won't help you win debates on the cable news channels. Humility doesn't win elections, especially recently. And heck, if you watch some preachers on television, humility won't even get you into heaven. I don't know if humility is something we are born with or something we learn along the way. But for most of us, humility takes a lot of hard work and a lot of hard knocks. Life has a way of teaching us humility when it reminds us we are not in control, when it hits us in the stomach, when a loved one dies, when it beats us over the head with an addiction we cannot beat, or when we learn that someone is always smarter, better looking, richer, kinder, more just, and more humble than we are. As Unitarian Universalists, we like to say sometimes humbly, that there are many paths to truth, to God, and that any religion that claims there is only one way is arrogant, non-tolerant, and judgmental. Things we would like to think we are not. But the truth is that we can walk as arrogantly with our truth, with our God, as anyone else. We often make jokes and look down at our noses at people who find God and truth literally in the Bible. We are as convinced as anyone else that we know the truth, even if our truth is a truth that is fractured between many lenses and cannot be seen by only one. The Protestant minister Harry Emerson Fosdick perhaps said it best. One would suppose that intelligent human beings living on this wandering island in the sky on the outskirt of a universe where the nearest star is far, far away, would in the nature of things be humble when they formulate the truth about life as they see it. Walk humbly with your God. Walk in prayer, in meditation, in awe, in reverence with your God, with your truth. Share it not by loud words, but by quiet actions, by doing justice, by loving mercy. Do justice. Love mercy. Walk humbly. The words are simple, but living them is hard, which is why we need each other, a religious community, so that we can ask for help at times and offer it at others. Let us follow the words of Micah, even if he does smell like a goat, and see where it leads. May it be so. Amen.